Welcome to the Reckless Dice Live Play Sessions. I'm your GM, Jesse Burke, and tonight we are continuing with Making the Rounds, Part 2. To my right, we have Layla.
Hey.
Across from me is Jay.
Hello.
And to my left is Chris.
Hello.
So, last time you guys were indoctrinated into the Ubersreich Town Watch.
Yay!
Much to your chagrin, and upon the penalty of death, if
I think
anything
that was pressed into.
Yeah.
And with the
looming threat of death, in the event that you misbehave or are seen as to be in any kind of dereliction of duty. For what was 2 to 3 years, I think it
three
was,
years.
Right?
I think it was 3 years.
3 years, I wrote it down.
So, anyway, a week or two into your job, you're being escorted around by your good friend, Sergeant Klumpelkrug. Klumpelklug. Let me see, I have his little picture here so we can remember, because you guys really liked him. There he is. Rudy Klumpenklug.
Oh, yeah.
The watch sergeant.
Klumpenklug, yep.
More importantly, he really likes us.
Yeah.
So, also there is the Andrea Pfeffer, the watch captain,
mm-hmm.
who Rudy reports to. You, though, are directly reporting to Rudy, and he is still kind of showing you the ropes, so to speak, as you move your way around Ubersreich, in your quotes, helping everybody. We ended our last session with you guys addressing a pickpocket where Rudy kind of very casually is running his own profiteering racket as he goes around and accepts bribes to kind of keep the peace and maintain the status quo. Additionally, as we closed out last session, the smell of smoke was on the air, and around the corner as you're patrolling the docks, you see the telltale signs of a building fire around the corner. That's where we pick up, and I'll leave it right to you guys from there. The fire has been spotted. Rudy, on the other hand, he sees it. He does not make any direct motions one way or the other, and I'll leave it to you.
I don't think they were firefighters. So.
Is there a community alarm bell or something, like on a pole that people can ring if there's
the fire alarm
just like, you know, probably not that specific.
No,
but, you know.
I mean, you've seen fires have happened, you've seen them in the past, and usually what ends up happening is somebody somewhere helps kind of rally an effort to put the fire out, because the buildings in the Empire are ramshackle.
Yeah.
They're almost, the majority of them are wooden, at least the very least from the first story on up, and they are very close together, so one fire quickly leads to more if not pressed.
All right, I will I'll jump in, and since we're right there by the docks where we were patrolling when the fire was spotted, I will identify whatever ship doesn't look like it's happened to be leaving anytime soon and start barking some commands at the crew.
Okay. And at that point, you're able to kind of round the corner and see,
yeah,
you know, see the structure itself.
So but I'll be like ordering them, you know, grab some buckets and start a brigade, you know, start a bucket brigade.
Perfect. Okay, so what I'd like you to do while I read off a quick description here is give me a simple leadership test or intimidate, depending on how you're going to do it.
Nah.
And simple means success or failure. That's all we need.
Ha-ha!
That's an 04.
It is an 04.
Almost a critical success.
Five levels of success.
Okay, so five levels of success relates to... We have a little chart there. I think it's on the other side, Jay, unless I'm reading it incorrectly. Nope, you're right.
You got it. So that's the difficulty outcomes table. So +4 to +5 is an impressive success. Yes, and you achieve your goal with style and exceed your expectation.
All right, perfect. So... I'll go to the result here in a second, but rounding the corner, you discover the butcher shop and a tenement building on fire. Folks are trapped inside. You can hear their screams of them calling for help, both women, children, and men. A large group stand in the street watching the fire and milling about uncertainly. Klumpenklug regards the burning building for a moment, then shrugs and begins to walk on along his patrol, calling back to you, saying, "We don't do fires."
Who does then?
He keeps walking. He keeps walking, kind of like pretending he doesn't hear.
Okay.
Meanwhile, you manage to garner the attention of the crowd and some of the dock workers, who quickly begin assembling a bucket line and gathering, you know, buckets and troughs and anything that would carry water. Some people even use their big leather hats and start scooping mm-hmm. water and moving it towards the buildings quickly.
Okay.
The rest of you, what are you doing?
And I'll lead by example. I'll participate. I'll be helping to...
And because of your impressive success, it gets together and gets working within minutes.
Okay.
Something that would normally be a very difficult undertaking.
I'll help out with the bucket.
Yeah,
I think I'll help out.
Okay. Klumpenkrog, he stops to watch. He doesn't pitch in, though. You notice after a few minutes, he soon has acquired somewhere a mug of ale and calmly drinks it while watching events from the sidelines.
Oh, goodness.
You continue to hear screams from inside. People are screaming either from being injured, hurt, or just scared. And nobody new has left the building for a minute or two. They're stuck in there, it seems.
Okay. I'll leave that to the big, strong people to deal with.
Yeah, I'll see if I can go inside. Why not?
You're going to do it?
Yeah.
All right, he's going to do it. Bernie, what are you doing?
I'm going to stick with the bucket brigade.
All right, so you two are working with that. It is working incredibly efficiently.
Okay.
But it is yet to make a significant impact on reducing the speed of the fire. So those wishing to enter the building... to extricate the men, women, and children, require you to pass first a simple cool check. A cool check is a basic skill, just to see if you kind of got the guts to throw yourself in.
Yeah, I passed.
All right,
also,
by four.
Cool.
That's right. You keep your cool, and you go barreling in to the burning inferno. Now, are you going into the butcher's shop or the tenement building?
Butcher shop equals bacon.
Yeah, let's say the butcher shop.
Oh! The butcher shop first? Really? Okay.
Is this my butcher shop? The one that my office is in?
Let's go with yes, actually. I had forgotten that.
Is it on fire?
It does.
It's on fire.
You're
yeah.
upstairs, right? Yours is upstairs?
No, it was ground floor.
It was in the back room.
It was in the back room.
Back
okay, room. You don't know because you can only see the front right now. Let's say it is.
Okay.
Well, I take it back. Did you say your place was in, like, the Dwarven District, or are you in the Human District?
I don't recall where
But, I mean, where do you want it? Where do you want it to be?
The Dwarven District.
Okay, then it's not yours.
Phew!
That would have been fun, though.
Mm.
So I think you did say you were in the Dwarf District. Okay. So anyone inside must make a simple athletics test as you begin to pull people out of the building. All right, you managed to quickly find a young girl. You're able to pick her up and rush her outside. No worse for wear. Are you going to go back in?
Sure.
All right, you go back in for more. There are definitely more people. You suspect at least two more people.
Okay.
All right.
So what do I make now?
All right, you go back in. It's another athletics check.
Yep.
You're good.
It.
All right.
Nice.
This time you pull out
That's
you
like
pull out an adult male.
I know.
You pull out this guy. He introduces himself.
We had a picture. You spared an NPC.
So Narby, you successfully save him. This guy, Narby Ditwin, he says his name is, and he thanks you for saving his lives and others, and mentions that there's a friend of his who, as a young boy, his friend's son, is still upstairs, and implores you to go retrieve him. And you notice that the rest of the crowd about the area is recognizing your efforts, and you're starting to get kind of encouraged, and you're getting the sense that the common folk of the area are very appreciative of what you guys are doing, as you are identified as watchmen, but also, you know, working for them.
Okay.
What that'll translate to mechanically is anything you guys do while members of the City Watch that is non-violent, working with the low tier, the brass tier of society, you get +10 to any roll you make.
Okay.
So
am I building success levels at this point, or no?
No, this is just these are just really what you're doing here is a failure to do your athletics check results in you being mildly set on fire. So you'll get in a blaze condition if any of these fail.
Okay.
So we'll go there when and if it happens.
All right.
So you run it back in for the third one?
Sure, why not?
All right.
Yep, we're good.
All right, you managed to duck and weave the fire, no problem, and. As you make it back out, Narby comes up and says, thank you, and then picks up the boy, and he says he'll help him find his father. Narby is one of the... He's a lean man. He's got a distinctive scar through his right eye, and his left arm is badly burned by the fire, but he does, from that point on, attempt to immediately help with the fire brigade and move the... and move the water along as quickly as possible. All right. So, time rolls on. The screams are no longer heard inside. The bucket brigade is taking on effect, and the butcher shop and the tenement building, while largely destroyed or damaged beyond the point of repair, the fire gets under control and is now just kind of a simmering thing, and it seems like at this point the local population could probably take over and maintain order from here. Klumpelkrug, you know, he claps and tells you guys, you know, good job, wasn't necessary, but good job. And says, so are you ready to move on?
Sure.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Good, I wasn't curious who did that either. And he begins to walk down the docks.
I'm gonna linger. I mean, right now things are pretty charred, but I think I'd like to go take a look at the building.
Okay. So the building, you want to kind of investigate the building, and what are you trying to determine?
To see if I can figure out where the fire originated.
All right. Make me a gossip check, and I'd like to know the number of success levels you have.
Gossip.
Now, because, you mind, you get plus 10 because you're doing nonviolent stuff with commoners now.
Alrighty. No.
How far off?
Minus 3.
Okay, what you learn is that the locals don't have a good sense of where or how the fire started. Though someone does say that they thought they heard a scuffle or some kind of argument behind the building before it started.
Okay.
That was one of the residents of the tenement building.
Can I tell just by looking at the building and where the flames have licked it, you know, like, have there been parts of it spared or some worse than the other?
Best you can tell, the damage in the back of the building is worse than the front.
Okay.
But you are wary of going too far into the building because it's structurally unsound.
Right.
You can hear it creaking and everything. And the buildings on either side of it, because this is like a town where each building is literally touching the next one next to it. So, like, those buildings were somewhat held up by these buildings. And, like, there's creaking and everything going on. And the buildings are visibly sagging.
Okay.
So you dare not go too far in. But it does... The suspicion amongst the crowd is that it was not... not natural.
Okay.
But nobody saw who or what did it.
Mm-hmm.
And the trail at that point goes cold. So the evening rolls on. And this is kind of the life you guys are starting to live now. You're getting introduced to conflict. Klumpelklug's not really that cooperative. He's interested in maintaining the status quo. There seems to be certain things he's interested in getting involved in and certain things he's not. And the ones he's not seem to have reasons for it. And there are other kind of systems at work in the town beyond just the watch upholding the law. The watch and everybody are spread about as thin as they can be. There is not enough of you to fully maintain order in the city. Therefore, in that vacuum, other powers find their own way of maintaining law. So it there's a balancing act that you kind of begin to realize is at play here, and Klumpelklug has a very distinct position in that balance, and where you guys lie is yet to be determined. So the following day, you are summoned to a massive brawl in the Crooked Hammer, which is an inn nearby. Gert Hunder, the barkeep, is having difficulty restoring order and is therefore called for the watch. And as you arrive, you can see the fight involves both a group of Ubersreich watchmen, which is like would be your counterparts, miscellaneous patrons, and a small squad of soldiers clad in the red and blue of Altdorf. They fight all barehanded, and Klunkelklug initially suggests that you guys He's like, you know what? Let's not engage. It's much easier to sort the guilty out when the fighting is done and arrest the recumbent for having disturbed the peace, if you know what I mean. And then he kind of crosses his arms and leans against the post and begins watching through the open front door and the windows.
why not prevent the fight? Why send somebody through the system? Doesn't that just clog our system up?
Wouldn't it also clog our system more to put 20 people through the system?
What?
We can arrest 5 people and have them go, or we can arrest all 20 of them, and frankly, I don't think we have the manpower to do it.
Why would we arrest all 20?
Maybe I didn't understand what you said. Were you saying why not arrest?
I'm saying why not prevent the fighting instead of arresting anybody.
He says, by all means, then. Go for it.
Hey, can you say one more time, who are all the parties involved?
So we've got a group of Uberzweig watchmen, so that would be other people who you know.
Yep.
Likely former Altdorf soldiers.
Right.
Miscellaneous patrons, and then a group of Altdorf soldiers.
And they're all brawling in betwixt themselves.
Yeah, it's kind of just a bar
free
fight.
For all.
Yeah.
So it's a big bar fight.
So it's already going.
It's already going when you arrive. The barkeep is the one who called for the watch to come to break up the fight because it's messing with him.
In other words,
bar.
Let the drunken idiots wear themselves out before we deal with them.
Oh, okay.
That is what Clump and Clug is suggesting.
Okay. Yeah, I kind of like his suggestion of that we can stand in the back and kind of keep outer order of, you know, no more parties joining into this. And when they're done, we'll sort out the ones that haven't beat themselves senseless.
You do notice, though, so as you sit and watch, this begins to, you know, the fight is going on. Nobody's drawn weapons. This is a drunken bar fight. You know, tensions are high between Altdorf and everybody else anyway, so there's probably some lingering political views being thrown around here. But you do notice that the barkeep, Gert Hunder, he is like totally distressed. His establishment is getting just wrecked, and he is like begging for help.
I'll get involved.
Yeah.
Not gonna fight. I am going to try and calm everybody down using charm if possible. I want to get in there and just sort of make the case loudly to anybody that's in the area, like, punching cops is going to get you arrested, and punching soldiers is going to get you killed, and why don't we all just calm down?
All right, so you are talking to a decent-sized group who are also drunk, which I would give you kind of both a plus and a minus for.
Sure.
But with the group size, I'll give you a minus 10.
Okay.
Or depending on how it goes, we might just affect it by how many people you can influence. So let's go with the roll, and we'll do a dramatic roll so we get the success levels. That's your second crit in a row.
Nice.
You've got the silver tongue tonight.
And I've got a 58 is my skill, so that gives me 4 degrees.
All right, so we're going to go for pretty solid success. You were also being assisted. Layla, you were going to go in and try and talk some sense into people, right?
I was going to go in with my shield and just kind of start physically try to separate people as I can.
Any details on how you, on like the groups you
want
to
separate? Non-violently, like, I mean, I'm just going to insert my body, I guess, and like use my shield. Get in between.
I think I'm kind of wondering, like, do you get in front, up in front of the watchmen, the soldiers, or the patrons?
I will try to protect the patrons.
Okay. So then two things happen. The patrons immediately desist as you insert yourself and begin pushing them aside as they see the watch come in. They know what that means. They know that that could be trouble for them if it continues. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, though, the remaining watchmen and the Altdorf soldiers, the watchmen see you guys come in and kind of see it as backup, and then realize that you're kind of talking some sense, and the Altdorf soldiers are the last ones to kind of cool their heads, and they're quickly calling names back and forth to the watchmen, and the soldiers probably know each other from before they were demoted to city watch. But the fight is brought to a relatively swift conclusion, and the further damage to the bar and everything is kept to a minimum. And Gert Hunder is wildly thankful for helping break up the fight. He does say he has something for you, and I need to look this one up really quick on page 25, because this place, he has something special for you. The Crooked Hammer. I'm going to read you a little bit about the Crooked Hammer in the event one day you want to come back here. The Crooked Hammer is a slightly seedy, rough-looking tavern, typical of those found in the Tubrook, which is the dock district. It serves a variety of hard spirits and watery ales at cheap prices. Gert hands you each, rolls out a mug for each of you and says it's on the house. It serves a, it is open, it is an open secret that the drinking house is a front for a gambling den run by the Crosses, adherents of Renald, the god of trickery, who views such activities as holy work. To the rear of the building, it is rumored that they operate, to the rear of the building, they do operate a soup kitchen and use the profits of their gambling den to provide basic sustenance to the poor and needy of Ubersreich.
Nice.
This is, Gert runs the bar, and what I want to give you guys is, where is it here? He offers you, he lets you know, Gert lets you know that you guys are, forever will be considered friends of the Crosses. You have the favor of the Crosses. Maybe someday that's useful to you, but the followers of Renald, at the very least the followers of, Renald who operate the gambling den out of the Crooked Hammer, they owe you one.
The Crosses are the name of... Oh.
Yeah, that's like kind of the club who follow Renald, the god of trickery. He's also kind of like the patron god of thieves and skulking around and gambling.
Good chip to have in your pocket if you're a spy.
So that's one worth writing down. You can call it Favor of the Crosses.
Okay.
Favor of the Crosses. Okay.
Yeah. It's not a physical object. Okay, it's more like, you know, you guys have the favor of them. So later that day, you come across a gang of thugs trying to rob a merchant being along the docks. The thugs look surprised, and the merchant hopeful as you come up, as Clump and Clug swiftly strolls towards them. "What's all this then?" The merchant begs for, while helping... Okay. "What's all this then?" The merchant begs for, while Clump and Clug listens passively. Mm-hmm. Sorry, this is a weird sentence for me. Whatever, I'm going to rewrite it. "What's all this then?" Clump and Clug says. The merchant is begging for help, but Clump and Clug listens impassively. He then turns to the gang leader. The man looks about and finally says, "He owes dock fees." Clump and Clug nods, turns back to the merchant and states, "Best for everyone, you pay what you owe, friend." The sergeant spears the gang leader with a final glance and states pointedly, "That's good advice for all of you, isn't it?" He then smiles and turns and walks away, motioning for the rest of you to follow him. As you walk away, you can hear the sounds of the merchant being beaten as you walk away. If any of you tried to look back or interfere, he says, "Leave it." As you continue your patrol, Clump and Clug states, "You wanted to help him, eh? Messing about with the Dockers Guild business is as good a way as any to commit suicide, I suppose. They'll not kill him. It'll all get sorted out. The Watch will have our due for our consideration of letting them handle their own affairs without any fuss." So your weeks of watch duty teach you a couple things. Most is that your fellow watchmen couldn't care less about protecting the folk of Ubersreich. The majority resent what they seem to see as a demotion from their rank of Altdorf soldier to a member of the Ubersreich Watch. Klumpenklug's guidance makes it clear that he considers the job about maintaining the status quo, not about enforcing the law, and he openly encourages you to profit from your new duties as you see fit. Eventually, you are let to patrol without his presence, but always he expects a full report, which he accepts in either the morning following a night patrol or an evening following a day patrol at the Raspy Raven, which is the inn that was outside of the barracks. He also expects his portion of the fines that he assumes you will collect. So, in general terms, run me through how this is how you guys are feeling about this. Let's start with Chris. What happened? Not specifics, but like generally, how have you handled time and this atmosphere up to this point?
So, being both nobleborn and my role as a spy, right, just brass tacks, I understand sort of the give and take of sometimes letting the underworld rule itself and just letting it take care of itself, and where it's not a good idea to get involved. But I sort of disagree with like letting the common people suffer and taking a toll on them for no reason. But so like out of the three circumstances that we witnessed, yeah, I wanted to participate and help in two of them, saw the value of it, wasn't looking for a kickback. The third one, I'm also totally fine with, let the guild handle guild business, and probably not something we should get involved in anyway.
Okay, so you have not in
force
any
of
way.
Arms.
Okay. And Doran Finn, how is the elf handling this? The elf outlaw.
Well, I'd like to say I definitely want to go back to that inn and check out some of that gambling.
Mm. All right. We can say that you become a relative frequent there.
Okay.
You've been welcomed in by in every way, shape, and form. We can do some specifics there a little later, but that is a place you frequent now.
Yeah.
But as far as the status of how the town and your work as the city watch, how do you treat that? How do you feel about
that? I'm adjusting to it, that it's becoming part of life, and we're doing what we need to do to get through our...
Yeah.
What?
Sentence.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, our sentence. And, you know, if I...
So begrudgingly, like, even not that begrudgingly, you're moving along with it.
Yeah, and okay. Oh, and I'm for, obviously, anytime I can pocket anything out of it, I'm
okay.
Taking advantage of that.
Remind me to come back to that then in a moment.
Okay.
And then, Bernie, how are you handling your sentence?
I basically feel like I'm part of the mafia. So I'm not liking it. I don't like to... I mean, I think similar to Chris's character, like, I don't really want to profit at the expense of the common folk, so I'll do what I can to protect them while keeping myself alive. I don't really care about the guild and whatever drama they get up
to. So when guild drama presents itself, which it does periodically, where they are another power in the vacuum... Are you interfering, or are you letting it solve itself?
I'm observing, but allowing it to solve itself.
Yeah.
One more thing too, I just want to throw in. So, expecting that if we don't play the game, that could get us in trouble with our own people. What I will do is levy legal and appropriate fines day to day. So if we see a boat that's improperly lashed to the dock and there's a fine for it, I'll levy those fines so that we're collecting legit money and have something to pay him off.
Enough to keep him quiet.
So he doesn't think that we're not playing along and then we are on the back.
And he makes it, without explicitly saying it, it's crystal clear that you need to be paying him. And if you don't, the report he'll give Pfeffer is not going to be in your favor, and that leads to really bad scenarios.
So I'll play the game, but I'll even make a point of, like, levy these fines today, and they're all legit. Like, but here's your money.
Yeah. And he shrugs it off. He doesn't ask any questions. He, frankly, probably doesn't care where it comes from. But he smiles and nods and makes note and says you're doing a good job. He's happy. If he's happy, he doesn't cause any problems for you.
So, That's how I'm going to play that.
and you're kind of doing that like as a for the group, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So then even like if you don't want to push yourself into a scenario, the fines are making their way across. Meanwhile, you have not failed, so you don't get that part.
Oh, good.
But despite the situation, other folk around you do regard you as law, and eventually requests for help begin to find you, since you guys are actually on some level trying to help people. Dorinfin, for your benefit, since you're actually attempting to profit off of the position you're in as well, you find yourself with a couple extra silver per week of work. So you have an extra 5 silver every week kind of in your pocket net from whatever else you've been doing.
Okay.
So while patrolling along the docks, and now you are without Clump and Glug, you still report to him each night, but he's not with you any longer.
Right.
I'm going to pull these guys out. And here, can you hand me Narby too? I had a picture of the fire for you guys. With him, with Clump and Clug drinking on the side. I'll throw that out there.
Let's go. Look at that, he missed.
Layla will like that one too, I think.
Nice.
Alright. So while patrolling along the docks, a poor boy, dressed in tattered clothes, tentatively approaches. He claims that his father is missing, and he gives his name as Eugene Petroville. And swears that his father would never leave his family. And he approaches you, Chris, because you are the only human. He looks a little nervous around the elf and the dwarf.
Okay.
And he's hoping you'll help.
So I'll ask him some basic questions, like when did you last see him, and where was he going?
Right. He says that his father, his name is Reichard Petchvogel, left their small shack to make night soil one night and never returned. Eugene lives in the Dunkelflucht, a shanty town which has grown in the shadow of the bridge along the river. And says maybe you can come back to our house and help find him.
I'll help you.
Yeah, we'll try.
He's surprised. He actually wasn't sure the dwarves would be willing to help, mm-hmm. And he looks excited and asks you to follow him.
I try to make him feel
comfortable. I'll reluctantly follow the group.
Okay. Are you questioning or like? Because if you have thoughts like you want to gauge like how truthful this kid is and stuff, those are things you can.
Yeah.
Are you? Because I'm sensing you're feeling that way.
Yeah.
Okay. So you can do what's called an intuition check.
Okay.
It's one of your basic skills, and I can, depending on your success or failure, I can give you a gut feeling of how honest you think he's being. And you have plus 20 to your roll. It's an average.
Plus 20? Okay. Yeah.
Yep.
We're good.
You believe that the boy is sincere in his belief.
Okay. Let's go look.
So, you investigate Eugene's claim. And you make it down to his house, and he introduces you to his mother, Maglin. And she is utterly astonished that anyone from the Watch would even care to help them. She is floored. She tearfully backs up Eugene's story, claiming her husband is a loyal man.
Does he have any enemies? Has he gotten into trouble any time recently?
So go ahead and make a gossip check, and let me know your success levels. You get plus 10 for being friends of the poor people.
2? Yes, I succeed.
All right. You ask around...
No, I don't. Oh. That's a 6. Sorry. I read it the other way around.
So you ask around and find that you are coming up a little bit. Maybe it's a race thing. You're not really sure, but... They're warm to you as a watch member, but really kind of like untrusting or reluctant to reveal details, maybe for fear of prosecution or something.
Okay.
There's probably other factors going on in the docks. There are, you know already that there are other organizations and stuff, criminal and otherwise, that operate the docks, and you wouldn't be surprised if people were more tight-lipped for a variety of reasons.
Okay.
So wait, he's a dock worker or what? Or he went missing in the docks.
He went missing from the docks, and that's where they live. They live in the shanty town down near the docks,
so
underneath the bridge.
I'll let our investigator investigate, like, for clues or whatever, but I'm going to go... I'll just let you guys know. I'm going to ask around a little bit, see if anybody saw anything. So I'm going to go out and try and gossip around with the locals.
Okay, like, go ahead and make that. But Layla, what you do learn...
Can I... Because I mean, do I have to rely on gossip? Why can't I use my investigation skills?
You can, but there's a story beat with a specific call out for a gossip check, so I wanted to give you guys that one first.
Okay.
But you do get something even with a failure, so I want to read you that.
Oh, okay.
So failure suggests that Eugene's father likely got caught up in something risky and paid the price.
Okay.
That is a common thing. There is also, you know, someone even suggests that perhaps the Baron got hold of him.
Okay.
And the Baron is a name you've heard before.
Yeah.
Just being members of the town. The Baron is a notorious halfling, for lack of a better word, mob boss, who operates out of the shanty towns underneath the bridge.
Maybe I can ask some questions back at that gambling group with who some of those people might run with.
Okay, okay. And then meanwhile, Chris, you were going to go for a more of a outward gossip.
Yeah, a little gossip around, like, locals. Like, hey, did you see anything? And, you know, anything about this family? Like, you know, where might this guy have gone? Does he have any place he hangs out? That kind of stuff. And just see what the locals might be willing to share. I'm gregarious, so I'm prone to gossip.
And what does that do for us?
Basically means that if I roll a failure, but reversing the dice would result in a success, I can do that.
That's pretty good. Nice. That, boy, that makes a big difference.
That's
it?
Nice.
And I succeed stunningly anyway with 4 degrees.
Nice.
Well, we know who should run around talking to people. So this leads to something astonishing. Reichert Petschvogel is one of many people missing, as you ask around. And this would be. I'm not going to have you roll for your gambling den. You learn similar things, let's say, because there won't be anything more. You find that more than a dozen other folk have disappeared along the docks in recent weeks. Since you succeeded with several success levels, you learn that it's not just beggars, but respectable folk too. Dock workers, merchants, and even two members of the Old Watch are gone. So it is both respectable people, beggars, merchants, and even two members of the older watch are gone. With all the confusion of the Jungfreud's fall, the disappearances have gone somewhat unnoticed, or folk thought that they were just killed as loyalists.
Okay. Very interesting.
What do you guys do with that?
I'll bring it back and share with everybody.
Should we try to inquire as to who else has gone missing?
Well, I mean, it's not a bad idea, but...
Well, I think you guys already know who's gone missing.
That's the name, right? The 12-plus and, like, their occupations, and they span a big spectrum. Do we get any common threads? Like, did they all go missing at night?
They did.
Okay. So I will then suggest that maybe we find a couple people on the watch that are prone to want to help and bring a few people down here at night. Kind of a show of force, but also really look.
So before you're able to organize something like that, that would, at least a day would pass, and you'd have an opportunity to talk with Clump and Plug in the evening or in the morning following it. Do you guys, what do you tell him when he asks you for your evening report?
Yeah, I'll tell him.
Okay.
I want to test him out, see like how he reacts.
Clump and Plug, I'll put him back out since he's back in play here. Clump and Plug doesn't care in the slightest. Noting the poor disappear all the time. However, if you bring up You do. You kind of mention all the folk who are disappearing.
Yeah,
right?
I tell them it's not just the poor folk. I mean, we have some respectable people who have gone missing.
Including two of the old ones.
Now, he's surprised by all that and says, he tells you to drop it, noting it's likely the missing folk were killed during the fall of the Jungfreuds.
I'd like to intuit him when that happens.
Go for it.
Basically looking to see if he's doing this out of feeling guilty or something. So my intuition. I got 1 degree of success.
All right. So you intuit that he does know more than he is saying, though you aren't able, of course, to determine what that is.
That's okay.
He's holding that close to his chest. And does not seem to have any desire to tell you what that is.
Yeah, that's okay. The reveal is enough. So, after our report, I'll still suggest that we find a couple people that maybe we've like been a little more friendly with. Big, strong people.
Yeah.
So you attempt to encourage some of the watchmen to come. That is quickly shot down as the resources are too thin for you to garner help from any official capacity.
All right.
But as your investigations continue, you narrow down a little bit of the scope of it as well, in that you discover all the people who have gone missing not only were disappeared at night or overnight, but also they were all in or about the bridge area of the dock district.
Okay. So then I will suggest that, not being one for looking for an open confrontation, I'll suggest that we like set up like a just like surveillance. And go
scope it out.
Well, you know, find a good hiding spot where we're unlikely to be accosted by anybody who's perpetrating the kidnappings or whatever's going on,
mm-hmm.
and observe the area and see if we can't figure out who might be doing it.
All right. So you guys.
And then follow them if necessary, but, you know.
Put
I don't advocate getting into a conversation.
I like that idea.
So you put yourselves up for the night somewhere where you can observe the docks.
Yeah.
I want to
Near the bridge.
Near the bridge.
I want to start tailing Rudy.
You're going to do that same time we go down and stalk the bridge?
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
On your own.
Yeah. For better or for worse.
Okay.
All right. So you follow Rudy begin following Rudy for the night.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, the two of you are heading down to the docks. You find a good spot to sit and rest and observe. You've got a nice view of the river and kind of a little bit of an elevated view over the main thoroughfare of the docking area and where the workers would kind of move from ships into warehouses. Can you guys, one of you, please make a dramatic perception test?
Does it?
What's a dramatic one?
That means I care about the successful.
Oh, okay.
Am I with them? Or?
No, you're on your own, right? Unless you want to do that beforehand.
I'll trust your elven eyes.
And then rejoin them?
Does it matter?
Yeah,
noise.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Does what matter?
Like, what your plans are. Like, if you're planning on following Rudy.
No, I mean, does it matter to you whether I do this and then leave or if I've already left?
Following Rudy?
Yeah.
Okay, well, yeah, I guess I kind of want to know, like, they're doing that in the evening. So are you going to follow Rudy, like, during the day or, like, at night? Because if you do it at night, then you'd be in separate locations from the other two.
At night.
Okay. So, yeah, then we'll do yours separately then.
Okay.
We're success by 4.
Okay. You hear a group approaching you.
Okay.
You notice them long before they get to you. It's a group of thuggish-looking fellows. They will be henceforth known as the Baron's Minions.
Nice.
Noticing that they've been spotted, they announce themselves as they come up to you and begin a conversation. They say that they represent the crime lord of the Dunkelflut, the Baron, and want to know. There's three of them, even though there's 4 in the picture. And they look like they're here to maybe rough you up a bit. And they're kind of wondering what you're doing, poking around in the docks, messing with their business.
What said we were messing with your business at this point?
They say no one says you've messed with their business yet, but we're wondering what you're poking around here with. What do you want?
Part of the night watch. We're supposed to be watching the area. doing our jobs.
Why don't you move along and go find someone who needs you?
Why don't you move along?
What are you looking for?
I'll try and defuse the situation and talk our way out of a confrontation. The way I'm going to approach this is I'm going to suggest that the folks that have been going missing, while mm-hmm. not normally of a large concern, the fact that some of the Watch are starting to disappear could start bringing a whole lot more people wearing these tunics down here on a nightly basis.
They see the wisdom in that. So they said, well, what do you want? What are you doing here then?
We'd like to know what's going on with these folks disappearing. It may or may not be to do with the regular business.
And they ask you who's missing.
And I'll rattle off in general terms, but sort of cap it off with, you know, and the workers and some of the Watch.
So that you see them nod to several of them. They kind of question a few others and, like, not question, but kind of like you can tell they didn't recognize that or didn't expect that one.
Mm-hmm.
And you get to, you know, record Petrvogel's disappearance and, you know, they knew him, actually. They mentioned that he didn't have any particular enemies and, you know, he wasn't even involved with any of their dealings. They don't know anything about that one. And then one of them looks to the other and pulls him aside and says, you can hear them having a quiet conversation between the two of them. And then who appears to be the leader of the group, says, so that's the only reason you're here?
It's the only reason we're here.
And he says, well, I hope we both have a good night.
Indeed.
And they turn around and walk off.
Okay. No people got shot.
Meanwhile, Rudy is drunken himself into a stupor at the Black Raven.
What's it?
The bar just outside the barracks,
mm-hmm.
and you know gets up, talks friendly with some people, and begins going around on his nightly rounds around town. And you can see he's doing it in a very loose manner. He's on the clock, but not a lot's going to get done. You can already tell.
Okay.
And he's stumbling his way down the street. He says hi to people as he sees them, calls them out by name, and they say, "Hey, Rudy," and he's like, "Hey." And then he's like, "I'll get that one from you next time." And I guess he kind of passes up opportunities for a few coins here or there, but then eventually he'll stop a merchant and begin kind of hustling them for his dues. And sometimes it's successful, sometimes it's not. And he wanders the streets all night.
Okay.
Kind of doing that until he gets tired and either enters another inn and passes out in one of the like curtained booths, and that's where you see him stop at about 1 a.m.
Okay, so he doesn't have a home that he goes to.
If he does, he didn't go there tonight.
Okay, nothing super interesting.
You suspect, and you're probably spot on, that he sleeps in the barracks. He probably lives out of the barracks.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Some of the Watch members who don't have a house do.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right, well, if that's all he's going to do, then I'll go find my two other companions, or if it's too late for that, I'll just go to sleep.
No, you head down to the docks at the meeting spot that you guys were going to hang out at, and you find it. But on your way, you notice something as you cruise through the docks before you, because you're like down on the street and you notice them like sitting up on a rooftop or an elevated area. You do notice something. You discover there's an abandoned, something out of the ordinary. You discover an abandoned rowing boat tied to a rickety pier. And part of that boat is torn asunder as if something with great strength had pulled at it. You can let's do a perception test to see if I can give you any more info on it.
Okay. Perception. Oh, the dice don't like me tonight.
All right. Well, what you do notice, there.
I'm at -3 if that does anything for you.
I think what I'm going to tell you is, you know, there's more to discover here. Something happened here of interest. You just can't see it right now.
Okay.
And maybe somebody else can help you.
Okay. So, okay, all right.
you guys see a dwarf middling around about downstairs, down below. Though, of course, Einar, you have a difficult time. It's nighttime, but Doran Finn and Bernie, your night sight actually you can see almost as clear as day during the evening.
Can I make eye contact with Doran Finn from the distance I'm at?
Easily.
Okay. Like I'll wave you over, maybe.
So I'll go down and.
Yeah.
I'll follow
give her
you.
Assist.
I'll follow you because I don't want to be here alone.
Okay.
So then either the two of you are welcome to make a perception check. You can
look
add 10 if somebody else assists you. And in order to assist somebody, the rule is that person assisting you must have advanced at least once in the skill they're assisting. So, for example,
so we're doing perception tests?
Yeah. So okay. As long as anybody else who's trained in perception can help you.
Can I try again now that I have help?
Well, he's gonna look now with your assistance.
So
yeah, I am trained, so I can assist you.
Okay,
so I'm also trained.
Only one person can help.
Okay,
you already helped.
I found it.
Yeah, look here, guys.
Look, a boat.
We're good.
All right. Do you have more than 2 success levels?
Yes.
All right, then you get bonuses here. So it seems like the way the adventures are written is usually there's like a success. Thing a result I can give you, a failure result I can give you, and if you have 2 or more successes, there's like the advanced success. So 2 plus success levels leads you to a dock nearby where clearly some sort of scuffle has occurred. Huge claw marks gouge the wood, and a portion of the stone and wood are fused together as if something had melted them. Now you know already that wood does not melt. Stone should not melt, so something strange has occurred here. And anybody who is, I'm going to give this one, Layla, I'm going to give you a bonus on this roll. If you want to make an intellect check, just evened out, simple intellect check. I've got a just kind of a dwarven history bonus for you here, if you make.
I have dwarven lore.
Let's go with it.
Okay.
So you can use that instead, if that's a higher roll for you.
It is by 1. INT is intelligence, or I?
I is initiative.
Okay, so INT. Okay. No.
How far off are you?
2 success, -2.
So this is something, you don't know what happened.
Oh wait, but you gave me some bonus?
No, you're that was just being able to do the roll was your bonus. You don't know what happened here specifically, but you recognize this as some kind of acid or something like that. And there are only a small number of creatures in the world that can produce this kind of thing, or potentially some kind of magic, which you know very little about.
Mm-hmm.
But you've heard tales of trolls and stuff before, and them vomiting gouts of acid and stuff like that. And this. Maybe those tall tales are true. Maybe Hooper's Reich has a troll.
Okay.
We have a bridge, after all.
We do have a bridge.
It's ripe for trolls.
Wait, the acid is what led me to the troll?
Yeah, because the river trolls vomit.
This acid would be a thing, like, the dwarves have had historical encounters with trolls and things, and just kind of like, as a dwarf, this might be something you've heard tales of over the years.
It'd be like hearing werewolf stories. It's like, and then the troll vomited acid all over the dwarves.
Yeah. So it's a far-fetched theory, but it's possible.
And now, if there was a troll in the town, because aren't they pretty big? Where would it be hiding? In the water.
So you guys don't...
Is there a rock nearby?
Do you guys want to... How do we want to play your characters as far as how much you know about the outside world of monsters?
I would be playing it like folklore. You know, it's like, I've never seen one, but people say trolls live under bridges and they demand tolls.
Fair enough. As a human, so as an elf who's potentially more learned, how do you want to play your character?
I think I would have some sort of knowledge on it that I would have learned just in my...
Like, have you ever fought one, or you're just aware of one?
I'm aware of them.
Okay.
And then
as dwarves, you've also lived far longer than most humans. You have kind of that opportunity for a little more lore out of this realm of superstition.
I'll buy into it, I think. Now I'm just wanting to know where in the world it could possibly be hiding.
So knowing the two, the elf and the dwarf, knowing a little bit about the grander world of creatures that exist, not maybe having seen them firsthand, you know that trolls come in a couple varieties. There's two kind of common ones. There's like the regular troll or the stone troll type of thing, which is land-based, and they're, you know, they live up in the mountains, usually around the rocks. And then there's something called river trolls. The river trolls are common amongst the rivers. They live in the water. They are the bane of boat people. They are a general problem and a nuisance around the Reichland.
So I'm going to...
And they're not small.
I'm going to give in to my hubris, which is giving in to my curiosity. And I'm gonna, if indeed it lives in the water or somewhere near this, is there a river nearby?
There's a huge river running through the city.
Right by the bridge.
Right. So maybe I'll throw some giant rocks into the water, see if anything happens.
I think if she's gonna do that, I'm gonna ready my weapon.
All right. The boat. So you guys are standing out. You guys are standing out on the slippery pier, tossing rocks in the water, bows drawn.
She's
kind of checking stuff out.
Like, what are you doing?
So
I'm trying to suss out the troll.
Here's how it's gonna go.
They're real.
I know. That's why I'm like, why?
So we're gonna meta here a little bit for a second. So there is a vile and atypically shrewd river troll lurking in the tufel beneath the center of the bridge.
Oh.
Okay.
It tends to strike only at night and when there are no witnesses. However, there's been no word of this about town. You guys might be the first ones to have stumbled across him.
Do you think he's the cause of the disappearances?
Well, that is for you guys to determine. But
yeah, I think it's kind of lining up.
People like bonbons.
You guys notice it's a particularly moonless night. There's only just the slightest sliver of Mansleeb up in the sky, and Moorsleeb is faint.
So it's not like we can go tell the watch about this. They're like you. They're not going to believe us. So what are we going to do?
It's not so much that I don't believe you. I'm like, why would you provoke it?
But you throw some rocks into the river, and you don't see it until it's closer than you want it to be, but there's a current and something moving under the water. You know how it makes that kind of like visible U-shaped ripple as it moves towards you?
Okay.
Like something of substance is moving under the water towards the bridge, towards the dock. And you suspect within the next two rounds, it will be at the dock.
Give me that charge.
Are you ready for your charge?
Yeah, I'm going to need that.
I will spend round one backing up.
All right, so you back up to the back of the dock, and Doran, Finn, and Bernie are out on the slippery dock.
Yeah.
Yep.
It is dark, so anybody who does not have night sight is going to suffer a penalty to anything visual, which will be just the human. But the twofold terror emerges from the water.
The terror.
And pass that one down so Jay gets a shot at him.
This is what you're shooting.
So this thing's the, nice. The twofold terror is the wily river troll.
Nice.
Now, the twofold terror is a terrible creature, quite capable of killing all sorts of things. He holds in one hand a rusty, sharpened anchor as a weapon.
Nice.
Along with his fanged maw. Let's see. Now, this will be one of our first... Oh, can you hand me the Baron's minions? I'll take them back. We're going to enter combat here, but I also want to look up a...
He's kind of cute.
Let's see. He has a couple abilities that I need to refresh myself on, and we'll do that with the group so everybody gets familiar with a few of these options. I also might want to...
Look, he's got, like, gills.
Yeah.
Green, pussy skin with boils.
So he's able to...
Sharp teeth.
Adorable.
Isn't he the cutest? All right, let's get some initiative going. I'm going to get my my roster. All right, so who has the highest initiative? The creature has initiative of 20.
I'm at minus... Oh, just straight numbers?
Straight I.
35
is Burns. 30 is Einar. And you're 50. The fast one, right?
Yeah, 50.
50 for Dorinfin. And then the Terror is going to go on 20.
Do we have our book hanging about somewhere?
I actually loaned it to Doug so he could read it on his vacation, sorry.
I was looking for options.
What kind of stuff are you looking for? Because I have some of it in here.
Well, I'm absolutely useless in combat, so I'm trying to figure out how I can be of assistance in combat.
Everybody can swing a sword.
No, it's pointless. I'll just get killed. It's literally pointless. I will never hit, and I'll just die. So there's no point in me getting in combat.
Go rally the...
Yeah, I will. I'll just go call
the watch for backup.
That's what I do. I'm the talkie guy. The law talkie guy.
All right, well, Dorinfin, you have a troll who has just emerged from the water. He looks like he's standing in the muck at the base. So he's still, like, half submerged, and he's just, like, kind of surfaced, and you get a good look at him, and... Holy crap, there's a river troll right
so
in front of
large
him.
Target?
Yes.
Ogre size?
Yes.
Alright. So I'm
half submerged in water, so I'll give you a -10 for that.
Okay.
The rest of it you can have with no difficulty.
Okay.
Oh wait, and there's fog.
Oh my god.
What'd you get, a hundy?
All zeros.
Yeah,
okay, so that is both a fumble and a miss. So the fumble is gonna be a critical miss that gives you
You think you'd get rewarded for rolling that.
Right? I mean, that's the lowest roll I can roll.
If it's low. So one is great.
The zeros, that all counts as 100. So give me a D100 roll again. Something bad happens to you.
14.
You hurt yourself. Lose one wound.
That's about as good as it gets.
Yeah,
that's the bowstring hitting that soft
flesh. Yeah.
Oh, my You're like, I'm a stupid human bow. I wish I had a... All right, Bernie, you're up.
I'm going to put my shield in one arm and my sword in the other, and we're going to go for it.
All right, go ahead and make your opposed melee check.
Opposed melee. Please be nice to me. God damn it.
Remember, we're interested in doubles, because doubles are fumbles or criticals, and you can actually cause criticals to your opponent even while defending. So
okay, I'm at -2.
All right, the troll's weapon skill is 40.
Roll high.
He is -1.
Oh.
So your attack fails, but otherwise nobody gets hurt. Einar.
Okay, so for cinematic purposes, I go, phing, my sword goes flying off. The
I like it.
And then I was
lands
like,
in the river.
You hear it splash.
Yeah, I wasn't going to use it anyway. And I turn and run to go find anybody that can help.
You can cross it off your inventory.
That's okay.
Oh, nice. Why do you even bother carrying it?
Because it looks good. It's part of the uniform.
Yeah. That was one provided by the watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't have one before.
All right, so you are running, and where are you going? You have options of things like... here, let me give you a couple options of where you can
first
run.
And foremost, away from the troll.
Yes. But you're in
just to be clear, I don't cross the troll's path at any point in my exercise.
Like, you're in the dock district. There's going to be a few...
I am going to go for a boat.
So there's like... Oh, you're going for a boat.
I'm
going
to go for one of the boats with like a sturdy-looking, tough crew that might have like harpoons.
So it is 1 in the morning at this point. So I'm going to give you a couple... Just for the sake of painting the picture, let me give you a couple options in case it sparks ideas.
Okay.
So there would be the Boatman's Guild... The Crooked Hammer, where you guys have been to recently, and also have the favor of them. The Customs House, the Docker's Arm is where all the Dockers would be hanging out. There's a Bretonian Chapel, and the Boat Builders Guild, and the Red Moon Inn.
What was the very first one again?
The very first one is the Boatman's Guild and the Crooked Hammer.
I'm gonna go with the Boatman's Guild. I think that they're going to be the most apt to want to kill a river troll because it's likely to interfere with their daily lives, etc. So
right,
looking
so
for people that have a vested interest.
You spend your first round running to the Bowman's Guild.
There we go. All
right. The Terror. The Terror bellows first, and then he's going to spend his first turn climbing himself up onto the dock. And the dock would... A lot of it breaks and snaps kind of as he's trying to like pull his bulk up onto it, but... He manages more or less to find a way to kind of clamber himself up there. He has very unsure footing, but he takes a swing, and he's going to take a swing at Dorinfin. All right, and he's going to swing at you with his weapon.
On the bright side, if everybody else sees this, they will believe that it exists.
True.
All right, opposed roll. I'm looking at...
What am I rolling on?
So everybody on the dock is going to get minus 10 to for anything regarding visual. That's for ranged attacks. It's for the fog. Otherwise, everybody's okay. There's slick cobblestones.
So what
wood.
Is my roll that I'm supposed to be making?
An opposed melee check. Do you have a melee weapon out? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, we're good. Three.
You succeed by three? All right, yes. He only succeeded by one, so you managed to deflect his blow. He did critical you, though. So let's get our first critical out.
If he deflected it, how could he critical?
Yeah.
You criticals happen regardless of success and failure. They're kind of like icing on top of whatever happens. So you can even critical when you... when as long as your roll was a success... So, like, let me see it. Let me see if I can say it correctly. Any doubles you roll, despite whether you beat your opponent in the roll or not, can trigger a critical failure or a critical success. It's kind of like an extra thing that happens. And if you succeed and get a critical, that's like two good things. You can also miss but get something useful out of it.
So Okay. Let me just ask for clarification. So what is succeeding in an opposed check? Did he succeed?
He succeeded, but failed in that Dorrance
succeeded
had more success
in his
levels.
Rolled less than his attack.
Yes.
That's what I was asking. So he achieved
difference.
His skill, but he didn't achieve the opposed roll.
Correct.
Right.
So he does not hit you for the damage he's going to do,
because
this is not representing one swing necessarily. It's representing just the result of the scuffle during the round. So you get hit in the chest. So do you have? Head. Arm. We're gonna use the enhanced all these elaborate critical tables since for you guys it actually matters.
It would be on my body, right?
Body. You get 30. 30 is a twisted back. You suffer one wound and suffer the torn muscle minor injury. So if you have a place for notes, write torn muscle, and we'll have to check that one out.
What a random injury.
Broken torn muscle. So. Sprains and tears to your muscles or ligaments result in significant pain and possible loss of use depending upon the severity. One of your muscles is sprained or torn, resulting in impaired capabilities and much pain. You suffer minus 10 to all tests involving your back, which is going to be almost everything.
Oh no.
That's it.
Okay.
And we can work on healing and resolving that another time.
Okay.
That is his turn, which means we're back to Dorinfin.
Okay. That's a failure.
You're attacking him?
Yeah.
All right.
No, he might have failed worse.
He failed a lot worse, so you still succeed. So what's your success level?
Well, it's -2.
So he's -5. So you have a +3 in your attack.
So
all you have to do is suck less than he does to hurt him.
Yep.
Okay. So then I do what? My normal damage?
Are you still using your bow or are you using your
bow.
Okay, so point blank with the bow?
Yeah.
Alright, so yeah, you're gonna do normal damage.
So that's 8.
And then +3 for the difference between our rolls.
So 11.
11? Alright. He's got armor 2.
You don't forget you gain another level of success.
Toughness 4.
You've got 2 now.
Oh, okay, yep. Yeah.
So he takes all 5 right. wounds. Alrighty, and then it is Bernie's turn.
I forget, do these add to the damage too as you build them up?
Those add 10 to your roll each one.
Okay.
And that translates directly into success levels.
Right, okay.
Okay, all right.
So do you have 2 additional
he
ones?
Has, well, he has,
I got a set.
He has
so
one.
One. Yeah, I had one before.
Okay, did you count that one?
Yeah, it was counted in.
Cool. And the moment you take damage or fail an attack,
it
all goes away.
Yep.
Bernie.
I'm going to attack.
Alright, he attempts to defend himself. And you've garnered his attention. Ooh, he really failed. He's at -5.
Oh, okay. I'm at -3.
All right, so you succeed by 1. So you get damage, all your damage, +1, and an advantage.
Okay, all my damage, +1. That's my strength bonus, +7.
I think 7 is the standard damage, right? For
is it the my the first?
Yeah, the first
number
digit
mm-hmm. of the strength.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, 3. Seven total.
Okay, and then plus the one for the different the success level.
Sure.
Marvel. So 8.
So 8 total. I don't do a whole lot of damage.
He mitigates 6, so you do 2, and then you have your. Do you get the bonus after your turn or during your turn? Like, does it happen?
I don't know
before?
What the timing is, honestly.
Okay,
I don't know if you add it on the turn you hit or not.
Right. I think let's say afterwards.
But
I think it would be after the attack is when the success.
Yeah,
because
you roll
in.
Your dice, right, and that's when you're counting up your successes or not to determine if you even get that.
Right.
So
that makes sense. So it comes out
at the end of it. Yeah.
So the other thing to note, what you can spend your if you have advantages on, is if you have more advantage than your opponent, you can freely disengage from combat anytime you want. Or if you don't have more, you can spend all your advantage and then disengage. So you have some options of what you can do with it. That brings it to Einar. You are at the Boatman's Guild.
Okay. So what do you need me to do to rally the troops? I do that.
They're locked and closed up for the night, so you're banging on the door,
I'm screaming,
getting their attention.
Troll attack.
Someone leans out from the upstairs window while you hear other people like downstairs, some of the common room people. It sounds like they're waking up, and what's going on? You spend the next few minutes trying to rally and convince them to get out of their slumber, their drunken slumbers, and get down to the docks and help.
Okay.
So let's get a leadership test or an intimidate test going.
No, I'll do leadership.
All right.
Probably failed by a bit. Where's my leadership? Not by a lot, but I did fail a little.
All right. No one is willing. You haven't yet convinced anybody to come help you. They start telling you, troll, there's no troll hidden in the town. What would a troll be doing in the city? That's ridiculous. Trolls are out in the rivers.
Yeah, in the river.
We have gates to protect ourselves from things like that. And they're putting up any number of excuses they can think of. All right, the terror, unhappy with being clobbered by the two of you, is going to... He's going to do a... His belly starts making this, like, undulating, like, motion.
Oh, God.
And he starts to, like, kind of burp and, like...
spew acid out.
And his eyes, like, roll back in his head, and he leans forward, and just this gout of clear, greenish slime just... vomits out onto the two of you, and it's mixed with like fish bones and like other pieces of like river filth.
I try with my shield.
Okay, so the two of you are going to get potentially doused in the vomit. Both of you make an agility roll to see if you can see how well you can jump your way out of the way.
I'm really good at agility.
I'll give you +10 to your roll because you're using your shield to aid. You jump out of the way.
Right,
okay, so you're not 100% out. You just suffer a little bit less. How'd you do?
Very poorly.
Okay, so you take the full brunt. It's going to be 8 points of damage, but you don't get to use your armor to mitigate any of the damage, just your toughness.
Jesus.
And Dorinfin, you'll take half that. You're going to take 4, but again, no armor to protect it.
So it's just straight damage, no mitigation?
But your toughness still gets to mitigate it, but
my
not your armor.
To mitigate it?
Or your shield. And Layla, you get hit
Wait,
in the...
Wait, so if I'm taking 4 and my toughness is 4, I take none?
You always take at least 1.
Okay, so 1.
Layla, you get hit in the left arm if it matters.
Okay.
And then Jay, you get hit in the...
Does my shield stop
arm.
It?
No, you got that bonus, but the acids of the vomit kind of bypass armor, so it didn't. The parts that did hit you is what this represents.
Okay, so I take 5 wounds.
All right, Dorinfin, you were up.
Okay.
Stick it with the pointy end.
Yeah. We're good.
Oh, right. I have to.
By success of 1.
He has also success 1. So. We then go to who has the higher weapon skill. His is 40.
50.
All right, you succeed with 0 success levels.
Okay, so then I think that's going to be a straight... I get to count these 3 bonuses. Because
you hit, you get another
advantage. Yeah, no, I got that, but that doesn't count in my damage, right?
It does.
Yeah, okay.
Absolutely, yeah, it adds 30 to your roll.
Well, I only got a success of 1, so then we're doing 9 damage.
Okay. 9 minus 6, you take 3...
But you didn't lose them.
I know.
That's the key, yeah. That's the key. All right, Bernie.
I'll try one more time. Melee.
All right. He howls at you. Ooh.
Mother trucker. I did get a double, though. I don't know if that's good or
with
bad.
With a success or a failure?
I don't know. I guess...
Was it above or below your weapon skill?
It's above my weapon skill.
So that's a fumble. And the fumble will... Go ahead and roll me a D100.
Oh, Jesus. You rolled a... Wow. Okay.
Well, thankfully, that was you. He just deftly deflected your blow. Didn't hurt you at
did
all.
He
but,
ever?
You, but you did potentially hurt yourself a little bit here.
What do you want? You just roll?
Yeah.
34.
You fumbled with a 34... your weapon is damaged.
Aww.
Your weapon suffers one damage, and next round you act last.
So where do I put the...
For your weapon damage, reduce its actual damage output by one.
Okay, and that's permanent.
Yes.
You should have just hid yours in the river like mine.
Yeah. Maybe I'll go looking for yours.
So now it's what, like strength bonus plus four or something instead of five? Or?
It's, plus three instead of four.
Perfect, okay. And then, so Bernie, you go last next turn. I'll put a little star here for that. Einar, you're up.
Okay. So commanding and ordering didn't seem to get me a lot of traction, but since they're at least listening before they all duck inside and, like, close their windows, I'm going to switch to charm and just try and be really friendly, like, trust me, please just come down and bring all your sharp stuff.
Okay. They look tired, and he's like, this is, he thinks it's a farce.
Okay.
So he's going to attempt to oppose it.
Okay.
But we'll see how it goes.
I succeed.
He succeeds by one.
I succeed by one. I have a skill of charm at, well, is that a success level? I got a 58 skill.
Okay, so in the event of this tie, your skill exceeds theirs, so you get the win.
Please, come
so
down.
He says, fine. He gathers three of his buddies. They grab a fish hook or two off the wall. Some of those like poles they use, like grab nets
stick.
And like a gaffing stick. Yeah, and they come down. And as soon as they kind of walk out onto the street, they can quite clearly see there's something going on out in the fog, and there's a ruckus with like some kind of fight and stuff. And they're like, they kind of perk up a bit and like grab you and start running down to the water.
Good job, guys.
The terror, having finished vomiting over you, he pulls up his big anchor stick and makes a swing at Dorinfin.
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Two success levels.
That's a fail at my four.
So that's going to be positive six with the weapon, which means he has 15 points coming at you.
Ooh.
And you are hit in the chest.
Okay, 15 points coming at me.
And did you take into account your minus 10 for your back injury?
Yeah.
Okay. And your plus 30 for your advantages, which you just lost? But you had it at the beginning of the roll.
Wait, so I got those counted too for in the defense roll?
Every combat roll you make until you lose them, those are yours.
Then I hit it. I was right where I should have been then.
Okay, so then he hits you with positive. He still got you when you lose them now, but it's less so. So he hits you for, we had a difference of six, so it's now only a difference of three. So he hits you for 12.
For 12, and I can minus my strength, and then do I get to use
so
my
toughness? You minus your toughness and any armor in your chest.
And my armor, so I can take away six of that then.
Okay, and
I'm going to take six.
Take six more, yep.
Wow.
All right. And the troll seems satisfied with that hit, and he looks like, since you're kind of a little on the weaker side now, I imagine, he's starting to eye you as a potential meal to maybe drag into the water here. Yeah, he's kind of looking hungry and licking his chops.
Yeah.
All right, so then, Dorinfin, you're up.
Okay.
And this is the round where Layla goes last.
Okay, so I'm going to attempt to attack him again.
All right.
Nice. Yes.
By
five.
He succeeds at zero.
I succeeded by five.
Thank God.
Well, actually, since he hit you on the last round, then he'll lose that advantage now. So you succeed by three. I'm sorry, you said five?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you succeed by four because he had one success level.
Okay. So then that's 12 damage.
Whew. That's a good hit. All right, so you hit him solidly. He does not look interested in that kind of fight. He might be thinking twice about taking you down for a meal. Einar, you are up. You are running down with the folks, I imagine.
Yep. Yes.
So you spend this turn arriving at the dock.
Going back, right.
And so the troll, you witness the troll. The fight is going on. Bernie and Dorinfin have been holding the troll back. The troll looks quite wounded. It's got this black, dark green blood kind of seeping out. You can't quite tell what's hair, what's muck, what's blood, what's seaweed, but like something's happening. The troll's not looking as great as it did when you saw it last time. The dock workers kind of first take a moment to be in shock and then begin to kind of point their sharp sticks as far forward of them as they can, though they have yet to approach the dock itself. The terror is going to... He's gonna go after you again. He's going to try and bite you once and put you down for good. Don't forget you got that and your injury, so you have plus 10, minus 10.
Success by 2.
Minus 4. So, big miss. Big sharp teeth come swinging by you.
Do I get another bonus now?
Okay.
Yes.
Awesome.
Wait, do you get a bonus for dodging?
I think you get one anytime you...
Win an opposed roll.
Okay.
Does it have to be an opposed roll?
It has to be a combat roll.
Combat roll. Okay. I'd forgotten you can get it from defense then.
I believe so. Yeah. It's like, because every time you're rolling, it's like if you keep winning, you keep it.
Yeah, because otherwise you're at risk. I have to do it for losing it when I was defending. That would make sense.
Yeah, okay, I have to remember that. Bernie, bottom of the barrel here.
Swing away. With my broken sword. Nice. I'll aim for his
damage,
like,
not broken,
toe
damaged.
Or something.
You're actually doing an aimed roll?
Don't do that.
That's even harder.
Oh, I think I might have succeeded. Yeah, I succeed at 0.
All right, he's at minus 1, so you hit him.
Woohoo!
You get an advantage, and you're plus 1 to whatever damage you do.
Okay, that puts me back to where I was, which was 7.
7 minus the 6 puts him at that. The troll looks like he is interested in leaving. He thinks he's looking around. You're not quite sure what it is, but maybe he's looking for something to bring with him. He doesn't want to leave empty-handed, but he does want to leave. You can get that much, because he's starting to kind of backpedal a little bit, but he's got kind of one hand ready to grab. Dorinfin, you're at the top.
Okay. Swinging away.
Slay him!
We're good.
Oh, right.
By success of 1.
Minus 1. So, positive 2 for you.
So then, that'll be 10 damage.
Is that plus whatever advantages you have?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So the troll is wounded and in bad shape. It is looking to flee at this point. It is up to you guys what you want to do and how you want to handle that.
We're not letting it go.
Yeah, we're not letting this go. We're going to finish this thing off.
Rally the men here to skewer it with their weapons, like spears.
So Bernie's up first. I'll have them act on your turn.
That's fine.
So they'll act as like your henchmen in regard.
I'll take another swing.
So he is now in the water. This is the last turn he'll be in hand-to-hand range without you guys doing something else. He is at minus 2.
So this is an advantage, right? So
yes.
It gives me plus 1. I'm at also minus 2.
Including the plus 1?
Right.
So then it comes down to who has higher weapon skill. That breaks the tie.
Weapon skill.
His is 40.
Is that...
WS, it'll be this somewhere near here.
Mine is 41.
With the narrowest of margins, you parry his attack and bob him once. All right, so you have a 0 success level.
So
success
plus 6.
Yeah, 6. Okay,
yeah.
So he just takes the 1. All right, so he you get a minor hit in there. It worked. And again, no doubles or anything.
No.
All right. That brings us to Einar and the dock workers.
So I command them to basically all throw them like they're gaffing sticks like spears and like he's
right.
A whale.
So I'm gonna make a couple rolls here. We'll
Since
see.
Since I won that though, do I get?
Yes,
a,
you do.
Oh, well, let me go.
So you have like a momentum build.
Uh-huh.
So the first stick misses, second stick misses, the third stick also misses.
Shoo.
They plop into the water, but they're trying. They quickly go and attempt to rearm themselves with like nearby gaffing poles. What are you gonna do anything else?
He's gonna stand there and look free.
Shout words of encouragement.
That's basically all I can do at this point. I got a dagger. I can throw,
at this
I'm
at
not
this
going
point,
to,
other
I'd be unarmed.
At this point, other witnesses have come out as the sounds of fighting have kind of gone around the area, and people are starting to kind of look out their windows. A small crowd has gathered, and this has become somewhat of a spectacle in the middle of the night. The
whole town's going to know about it now.
All right, so that was Einar. The terror is going to make a grasp out for your legs. He's going to try and grapple you. He's going to try and grapple you, so it's not going to be a formal damage thing. So this is going to be my strength versus your agility or strength, depending on if you want to like try and jump out of the way or are you going to try and resist his strength.
Well, it would be agility versus what would be the other roll?
Well, he's using his strength to try and hold you in, but yeah. What do you want to resist him with, your agility or your strength?
My agility.
All right, so you're going to try and...
And do I get to count these bonuses in this or no?
I'm going to say yes because this is sort of a combat roll still.
Okay. Yeah.
You have advantage over him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, boy.
By two.
Minus five. All right. He makes a clumsy grab for you. You ding, ding, ding. You do a little dance. You jump over his arm. No sweat. Dorinfin. You're up again. Though. Yep, you're up again.
Shoot him. Shoot him in the eyes.
Yeah, I'm going to shoot him.
And you've got an elevated position over him now since you're on the dock and he's down in the water. Kind
Lego
of like
West, that guy.
Yeah. Jump in the air while you do it. Make it look really cool.
Did you bring your trampoline?
All right.
Every hero needs to carry a trampoline.
A trampoline?
So you can jump and do things.
Jump on a slippery fish and slide down the dock and shoot him.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. We're good.
He's at positive two.
Positive two.
You have positive two as well?
Yes.
All right. So what's your weapon skill? Wait, you're positive two with all that?
No, sorry, positive one.
With
sorry,
all
positive
that?
One. Yeah, because I'm at 90.
You had a horrible roll. Okay, you fail, which means you've lost all your advantage as well.
Okay.
But that means he gets one. He actually tossed me a couple because he got an advantage out of that.
You get a black one.
Yeah, give him the
dark
black one. Scary.
I want the red one.
No.
Okay, that is then Bernie's turn.
Here I go again.
All right.
Here I go killing again.
I'm going to prick him. Oh, Jesus.
Minus three.
Minus five. No, wait, I have two advantages. Oh, man, I'm having a hard time doing math. I think I'm at minus three.
Yeah, which means you win because by 1 point.
Yes!
That 1 point's been paying
off.
Yes! No dividends there.
So, plus six more damage.
Which results to one damage, but that's fine. All right, the troll is none too happy. So, he lost an opposed roll, which means he loses that advantage. All right, that is Einar. So, the folks have rearmed themselves and are throwing it again. Misses. They're having a hard time. Oh, that guy actually hit. That guy hit. That's going to be for three more damage. One of the gaffing poles manages to kind of lodge in. It's like a big hook, so it like gets in there, and now it's kind of like dangling off the troll's shoulder, like with its hook.
It's like Jaws. It's kind of,
yeah,
the thing that's bad.
Yeah, exactly.
To be able to track this thing when it's in the water now.
It's like howling in pain because like the thing is bouncing around and meanwhile like digging around on the inside of its arm.
Nice.
Is there like a small like a rope chopping hatchet somewhere here on the dock?
Sure.
I'll grab that and chuck it.
Oh, you improvise weapon throw?
Yep.
All right, go for it.
Just to see if I can put it down. No, it splashes in the water.
Getting brave now.
A lot of tools. Close.
A lot of tools are in the bottom of the tool.
That's okay.
At least he tried.
It's like a tenth of a percent
maybe
of the tools fall in every day.
Maybe on its way down into the water, it'll prick itself on your sword.
Yeah. Exactly.
It landed built up.
Yeah.
And it's going to cut his back.
Yeah.
The troll turns and is going to attempt to descend into the water. Yeah, he hasn't quite done it yet. He's turned his back on you and is beginning to wade back out into the river.
Whose turn is it?
The troll's turn.
Oh.
Dorinfin, you're up.
Okay. I'm going to shoot at him.
You've got...
Make it count.
Yeah, you've got two... You've estimated this... You got this round, probably to do some work on him before he goes underwater.
No, that's a massive failure.
All right, arrow splashes in the water. Bernie,
I'll take a final stab at him.
All right, this is your last chance to swing at him.
Because it's a big climactic moment, what can he do with fate and fortune points? Can he re-roll that with either of those?
Good call. Let's talk real quick about fate and fortune.
What are fate?
You can do something to get yourself an automatic success.
Oh.
Just saying, if you get a chance to kill it.
Yeah.
No, fate and fortune aren't on that sheet.
Because I have some fate and fortune points.
Yeah.
Those can be, those are
they
kind
have
of
purposes,
like,
we don't ever use them. So it's like,
yeah, no, I didn't even know what they were for.
They're for, we've only covered it once, so it's probably
one
good that we get
to save your own
okay.
butt, but the other one's for fun stuff.
So fortune and fate, they come in two categories. Fortune and fate are,
yep.
are a pair.
Yep.
Fortune can be spent to re-roll a failed test. Or to add a success level to a test after you've already rolled it.
Okay.
Or at the start of the round, choose when to act during the round. So that's kind of like your small currency.
Okay.
You can spend your fate, which is your bigger version, to die another day. Instead of dying, your character is knocked out, left for dead, or for one some other reason survives whatever happened to them and they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
Or how did they miss? You can completely avoid an incoming damage by some extraordinary fluke. So resolve and resilience, you can be immune to psychology until the end of the round, ignore any modifiers from a critical wound you suffered, or remove a condition you have. You can also spend your resilience to not develop a mutation, or instead of rolling, you get to choose the result you get. And you may also win by at least one success level. And you may do this on a test that has already been failed, if you want. So basically, you can spend a resilience point and just make up whatever roll you wanted to get.
I don't have any resilience.
You have none?
Not.
Does you never filled it in?
But you still got that.
Wait, is it zero or not filled
yes,
it in?
Zero.
Okay, that means you already used some of it at one point early on when I think you almost died in one of our first games.
I don't have it erased that it's ever been changed.
Oh, so it's just, it's not zero, it's just...
Unused?
Unused, or is it zero?
Well, there's a zero there, but
I think it's supposed to start at the same value as the number above it, so it's probably like two, I think.
The number above it, there's no number above it, it just says resilience above it.
Resilience and resolve should start at roughly the same number.
Mine start at two, and I haven't used them, so they're both still
at
two.
They're at zeros, and I've never
put
used
both
it.
At two. I think we maybe missed that at the beginning during character creation, because everybody should have a couple.
But this is
for
a killer.
Both of those?
Yeah, it's a killer opportunity for a fortune to train.
So which one would be the best to use then?
So what I would do is give yourself a critical for sure by making whatever roll you choose doubles. I mean, basically, there's no reason to choose anything other than 11.
Well, that's if you're spending resilience. If you just spend a fortune point, you just get to re-roll.
Well, the fortune point, you can do better than that, can't you?
I think the
re-roll.
Fortune is the cheap one because you have a lot of them.
Re-roll.
I only have two.
Or you can add a success level to a test you've already made.
Right. Technically, you could do both. You could re-roll, and then if you succeed, you could add another success level to it if you want it by spending two. But the fact that you missed, and it's our last chance to kill it.
Right. So I need to re-roll then, right?
All
right. Okay.
So minus one fortune point.
Okay.
And you are...
And you had advantage at that point before you lost it, right? Didn't you still have an advantage point?
I did.
So you still have...
So I would still have that then?
Yep.
Okay.
Because you're re-rolling.
All right.
So plus 10 to your roll.
Yes, we are at success of 2.
All right. Success of 2. What's your total damage?
That would be... 9.
All right. All right, and then Bernie's taking a swing before it gets out of reach from the dock.
Plus 3, so I have a success of,
He's minus 2.
Plus 2.
You're
I'm at plus 2.
Plus 2, minus 2, so you're plus 4 total. So how much damage is coming
out?
I
add that to my 6.
Yes.
So 10 total.
Alright. He is severely wounded. It is not dead, but it is on the cusp of... It's going to attempt to flee this turn. If you don't put it down this turn, it's going to go underwater. He's kind of like already... only his head's still visible as he's starting to descend. He's trying... You can tell he's trying to duck, but it's not quite deep enough for him to like be underwater. And you can see there's this black ichor in the water kind of like floating behind him as he's...
And then the spear's sticking out.
Yeah, so the gaffer hook like... All right, Dorinfin, you're back at the top.
Okay.
Oh, Einar, I'm sorry.
I don't know if I have anything to do.
Do anything.
Anything?
Anything.
What's laying around? What else can I grab to throw?
You grab. You grab a. You grab another gaffer hook. You lob it. It's gonna help you guys pull it back in if you kill it with it.
That's right. I'll have another one sticking out, and then we'll get a buoy attached to it.
Then we'll shove a compressed air tank. Nice! All right, you lob it. It sails through the air, and somehow awkwardly, with the backward hook, attaches itself to the troll as it kind of like stops moving in a not so sudden way. It just kind of like waddles and then just starts to float.
And, did you kill it?
I'm totally shocked. My jaw's like slapping.
And it you see like its back and then its legs kind of surface as it as the current begins
so
to like
dead.
Send it down river.
Well, I'm drinking for free tonight.
And you hear this. You hear a cheer erupt from the not only the dock workers who have started to watch, but also like the other peasants and stuff who've come out from the night as you know the local Ubersreich town watch have actually defeated this mysterious creature no one even knew was troubling their town.
No. I literally look more surprised than sinking. I look more surprised than everybody else there, but I turn and immediately like grab one of the guys that came with me and give him a big old hug.
Like, we did it! Yeah, everyone cheers. They come out to congratulate you, and everything's it's quite a spectacle. Let's see. So that the next morning, you find yourselves at the Black Raven giving your report to Klumpelklug.
And
he's all bandaged up.
Yeah.
Here, you know, you guys, you're after your evening patrol. You don't have time really to rest much. You take it easy for the rest of the night, but you your patrol is somewhat uneventful for the rest of the evening.
I'll definitely go drink at least a round with these guys too.
All right, indeed you do. It's for free. The dock workers all invite you into the guild, and you guys all share around.
Are the humans in the town kind of like taken aback at the fact that this exists? Like, hey, there are trolls.
No, most of the dock workers are familiar with trolls because they like plague the they plague their shipping industry like outside of town. They were surprised to see one in town, but they were thrilled that you guys have taken care of it and you're kind of brought in for the evening for an hour or two.
Did it have any sort of like den that was accessible under the bridge?
We'll have to go look in the morning when we're not dead.
Yeah.
But the bridge is not, just for to kind of set the scene, the bridge, which is rather large, has that whole kind of seedy district of shanty towns built up around it and underneath it. So it's not like the troll likely was not there. It would be in the middle of like the poorest area of town. And that's also where the Baron operates out of. So the morning rolls around and Klump and Klug wants his report and wants his
any wounds?
For that evening, no. Since you were on an evening patrol, you'll probably rest during the day and we'll give you your wound recovery then. But what do you guys tell Klump and Klug?
We tell him we were busy.
I bring like a heel of bread that we took from the bar when we were drinking.
And a beer. Give him a beer.
Yeah, give me a beer.
Give him a beer.
Yeah.
There you
go. He takes it happily. And yeah.
That's all we got for you, buddy.
Yeah.
He actually takes your report seriously this time, oddly enough. He's surprised, interested, and then pays attention, and he says he'll make sure that... We report our success to Pfeffer. And you actually manage to kill the river troll, and you gain the respect of the folk of Ubersreich for the great... and you see the respect you get from the folk of Ubersreich having a great improvement, particularly in the docks district.
Do we tell Eugene that we likely found the source of where his dad ended up?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a right to know.
So him and his mom, like, they cried out, and they have a really hard time with the news, but they understand and are just thoroughly grateful that you were able to put an end to it so that it doesn't hurt anybody else.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes further just to cement a positive relationship with the poor folk, particularly in the docks area.
Awesome.
Go us.
So...
See, aren't you all glad I threw those rocks into the river?
How's his back? So you guys rest for the evening.
I fill out the necessary requisition for a new hand weapon.
You get a new sword. Do you want to replace your sword?
File the paperwork.
So it's a shoddy human sword, but it's the same stats as you had, just for however you feel about that.
Okay, that's fine. I'll replace it.
All right.
I also attach one of those, like, little cord that I can put around my wrist next time.
Oh, for, like,
to pull it back. It's
so I can put that on before.
Yes.
I ain't losing this again.
All right, healing. Healing and death is something we should look at here.
Yes,
recovering,
I got some serious
recovering
wounds.
To recover your wounds, you need rest or medical attention. You can attempt an average endurance test after a good sleep once a day to heal as many wounds equal to your success levels plus your toughness bonus. So that'll be what you are doing, Jay.
Lila, so
did you
get
hurt too?
I got hurt. I just missed what you said, though. What'd you say?
Well, you automatically heal your toughness bonus worth of wounds.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
But if you also get to make a plus 20 endurance check, and any success levels can be used for additional wounds to get healed. And that can only be done with an actual night's rest.
Okay, plus 20 endurance. Whoa.
So then I was success of 3?
Okay, so you'll heal your toughness bonus plus 3 wounds.
So I'll heal 7 wounds?
Yep.
Oh. Nice.
Plus 1...
generally for the night, or is it just 7 total?
No, you're having a good night's rest gives you this roll. Without
okay.
a good night's rest,
right.
you don't heal anything.
All right, gotcha.
I heal 3. I have 2 wounds left. I rolled on the endurance roll and got a double, so I don't know if that matters at all.
Criticals don't matter outside of a combat roll.
But I also have a healing poultice, and I think I'll just use that to heal the rest of...
Okay, you can bring yourself up to full and just cross off the healing poultice then.
Where's the witch doctor when you need me?
Right. He's in my bag, apparently.
At the end of this session, we should probably play around with how to work your back, because I haven't yet done any of the rules for broken bones, sprained muscles, and diseases. There's an actual, like, you know, you can maybe go find an apothecary or someone to work your more severe wounds. So a few nights roll along, your watch continues. One night, while
a
you were off...
A few nights, so we get to...
You can recover the rest of your basic wounds. Let's go ahead and say your sprained back is cured at this point, since a few nights have passed. Potentially even a week or two, so we're fast-forwarding a slight ways here.
He's an elf, right? They heal differently, like... He's got accelerated healing.
I want to look up the rule instead of...
It heals like a tree, so it comes out like a knot.
All right, so one night, while you're off duty at a tavern, a merchant, Curlass Mingott,
okay,
asks if he can buy you a round of drinks
yep.
to discuss a small
Yes, categorically.
Categorically, yes. So, he's a small man with a winning grin. And he sits with you, you share the drink, and he says, "Myself, along with some other of my fellow merchants, are being scammed." He explains that Barlin Silverbeard, a dwarf merchant, has talked them into pooling their money to take advantage of a fantastic bargain of dwarf-wrought forged work from Carrick Asgaraz in the Grey Mountains. Their money is presently held in a secure dwarf vault that can only be opened at specific times with the right keys. He and his fellow human merchants are only allowed to visit when their money is deposited. The vault lies beneath the Dowiehofen on the edge of the Kalsgrid, which the Dowiehofen is the dwarven district of Ubersreich. Curlass declares that something about the deal feels off, but that his fellow merchants don't believe him. They have told him if he wants out of the deal, he's free to leave and they'll find someone else to take his place.
Can you elaborate on why it feels off?
Well, he says, so Mingott says that, well, there's four other merchants involved in this deal, and he lets you know where to find them. He says there's this guy called Trouble. I'll give these to you in a minute if you need them again. Okay. You don't necessarily need to write them down. Karl Trouble, Hitzkopf Heinfaller, Theta Jewelwheeler, and Imagunda Handler. He says, Trubald is an utterly hairless man who regularly deals in weaponry. Hinfaller seems to be furious at the world and has an eternally red face. He should be easy to find. Jewelwheeler, he prefers to deal in precious metals. And Handler comes from a long line of merchants who will trade anything at the right price. He explains that...
What's this guy do? What's his... What type of business?
He explains that he is a kind of a traveling merchant, but he is just recently come from Nuln, and is brought some gunpowder from Nuln for trade here in Ubersreich, and we'll be making some deals here and then moving on. But this deal was too good to pass up.
And what was the name of the dwarf you mentioned, Silverbeard?
His name is Barlin Silverbeard. This is a name you've heard before.
Okay, and what do I know about him?
He is a dwarf who... You know him from the dwarven community. He lives and works out of the Dawihafen, and he is a notoriously frugal merchant. Generally likes working with dwarves only.
Okay.
Doesn't think too kindly of humans.
Is he of a sort that would try to swindle them? I mean, in general, dwarves don't really swindle.
You don't have any particular dealings with him. You just know of him.
Okay, I'm gonna be of the belief that this is preposterous because dwarves don't waste their time and energy trying to like get one over on humans. So.
All right. Well, Meingott says that. Well. I understand that there might be reasons not to believe me.
Oh, I'll investigate it. I just think it's bull.
He notes that...
I don't tell him that, by the way.
Okay.
Those are my personal thoughts. They're inside my head.
Thought bubble.
Yeah. Talk amongst yourselves for a second while you guys do this. I need to read something real quick.
He needs to read.
One moment, please.
I don't know. What do you guys think about this? I think it's crap.
Well, I'm still kind of waiting to hear what the deal is.
Uh-huh.
Like, what's this?
Yeah, what does the merchant get out of the...
Well, what is it that they're investing in? If it's like they're throwing their money in the vault. I get it. You can only show up when they put the money in. Get it. What's the payoff?
Yeah, what's the payoff? That's a good question.
Is this like the underpants gnomes? It's like...
He says that Silverbeard has managed to acquire the goods that we're going to be able to buy for pennies on the coin, on the gold, and that this will be able to turn incredible profit from this dwarven goods. The thing is, we just need the initial investment up front. We've got it all in there, and we're supposed to put our money, meet to put the money up in the vault in 2 days.
So you haven't put any in yet. This is just the standing deal, is that you're going to go deposit it in order to get your deal going. But you haven't actually invested anything yet.
Yeah, and he says, I don't think I like where things are headed.
Why?
Like I said, something seems off.
And you said somebody would buy you out, though, right?
Well, the other merchants said that I'm more than happy to leave if I don't want. They'll find someone to replace me. But I'm a good citizen and don't want to see other people ripped off too.
Hmm. All right.
But I'm not in a position to really stop this from happening.
But are you going through with the investment?
That is something that I haven't yet. I would like to extricate myself from this in a way that sees nobody get hurt.
How'd you meet the Silverbeard?
I had some connections with the dwarves, and to some degree, the deal found me. Some of my merchant buddies brought it to me, and some of my dwarf friends vouched for Silverbeard, and then
here I find myself, but I'm not comfortable with the way this is sounding now. It sounded too good to be true, and I'm afraid it might be.
Okay.
I'm ready to walk away, but I don't want to see others get hurt.
Okay.
Alrighty.
Walk away. So he says, I'll meet you, perhaps we can, I'll be here each night if you need me. Hopefully we can find the resolution to this before it comes time.
We'll see what we can figure out.
Alright, he thanks you and takes off for the night.
Okay. What do you guys think?
When is this deal supposed to go down?
A couple days, it sounds like.
I'll go check out Silverbeard. I mean, like...
directly? You don't want to investigate him from, like, the street first?
No, we can... yeah, we can do both. Like, I can... let's do that first, and depending on what we find out, I can go check out...
it'd be nice if we could learn anything that might be going on, or if we find out, like, that there's a rumor of, like, a big shipment of something coming in that would legitimize the trade. That's one thing, but if there's, like... no talk of anybody seeing like some giant caravan of goods coming in, then it sounds a little fishy.
Yeah, sure. Let's ask around.
So what's the plan?
I think we're going to go try and legitimize the story just off the streets. Like sort of, hey, has anybody heard about like this dwarven area receiving a huge shipment of goods that they're like warehousing?
So you're asking around the human district? So you're going to the
dwarf
district?
No, we'll ask around near the dwarf district, but not, we're not going to this guy at this point. We're just kind of like, hey, you know, we're just trying to...
but I do want to distinguish between asking humans about dwarf business or asking dwarfs about dwarf business.
I'll tell you what, you do the dwarves, I'll go to the nearest gate where Karak Asgraz would
west,
be on the
west
road,
gate,
and I'll go ask the humans there if they've seen a bunch of dwarves with a boatload of goods coming in the last few days.
All right, you know. All right.
And we'll meet up.
That we'll do quickly. The answer is no. Nothing, nothing of interest or of substance that the guards have seen, though all the guards are largely Altdorf soldiers, not paying much attention to, or not familiar with the
but I'll
customs,
make it clear, I'm looking like a bunch of dwarves with a big caravan. You didn't see nothing like that?
No caravans yet, but then again, we have no idea what's coming either.
I'll ask similar questions in the Dwarven District.
So you, you ask around the Dwarven District, the... Barlin Silverbeard, his name comes up often in your conversation, one, because you're looking for him, but two, people are aware of him, and he is notoriously a, he's kind of like a merchant thug. He does, as you learn more about him, he's not the good kind of dwarf. He's the kind of dwarf who openly, openly kind of runs a very aggressive mercantile business and borderlines on kind of racketeering against non-dwarves.
Okay.
And he has, you easily figure out where he operates out of. It's not hidden. He runs a legal business, but it's, a little unscrupulous.
Against non-dwarves in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I try to get a sense of kind of what his reach is. Like, are most of the dwarves in the Dwarven District kind of like on board with him, or do they dislike him?
He definitely has the... he's pushing the limits of, like, dwarven honor-bound... business.
I'm certainly shocked by it.
But you also, there's a
what?
You kind of you're teetering into this territory too, where you have these dwarves who have left, who are living amongst humans for a reason. They're not all upstanding dwarf citizens. If they were, they'd probably be still living in Karak Asgaraz or somewhere else. These guys are living outside of their holds for one reason or another, and not everybody's a bad guy, but a lot of it's a common tale to have a little bit of a darker past on why you're not still home.
Mm-hmm.
So this guy might be on one end of that spectrum, but it's not an unheard of tale.
Okay.
But as far as the dwarven community goes, he is an upstanding citizen. Just is known to not really play fair when he's dealing with non-humans.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will take that information back to my friends.
Okay. So, I don't know if the adventure prepares for this outcome, but this is the way I'd like to pitch it, folks. So I say sort of letting the city take care of itself to some degree. I think that because we're unlikely to get the dwarves to cop to, you know, running a scam or whatever else, that we go to the Merchants Guild and basically get the guild involved and say, hey, there's this deal going on. Some of the members might be at risk. We think that you should broker the deal publicly. Like, put it out, like, in fair sight. And that way, maybe the dwarf, if he is running a scam, would be reluctant to go through with it and maybe just does the deal to be done with it and not lose face with the guild. Mm-hmm. But if he's totally like, oh, well, never mind, it fell through, and he has an opportunity to back out and not lose face.
Yeah, sure. Sounds like some
That's
good
a creative solution. Totally. It does sort of account for that. You'll bypass some of the interesting like things you could happen, but you know. So you approach the Merchants Guild, who you don't really have any dealings with mm-hmm. at this point, and an attempt to get yourself a meeting. And over the course of the next day or so, you manage to attempt to pitch what amounts to there's a deal going on with the dwarves and some of your members of the guild, most likely, because mm-hmm. almost every merchant should be part of the Merchants
right.
Guild. And it's going on underneath the guild's nose, right? So let's come up with an appropriate skill check for this to see if you can convince them that this kind of deal is going on. Now, inherently, the Merchants Guild is not interested in messing with the politics or standing of businesses in the Dawihofen. That's mm-hmm. kind of like a self-operating district. But they are concerned more for their own members' involvement.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not sure what skill we'll use for this yet. What are you thinking?
Well, I don't know. I mean, I'm trying to sort of like tell the tale to work it into my way. So I don't know if gossip's appropriate. Charm, maybe, just because I'm trying to like win them over to like...
Charm's where I'm leading.
Okay.
I just wonder if there's anything more like fun we could use than just straight up charm check. And I'm trying to think of what kind of modifiers I might want to add.
I don't know. I'm looking at all the other like social stuff. I'm definitely not trying to intimidate them.
I'm going to do a minus 10 charm check.
Okay.
See how they react.
I'm suave. I'll just let that roll.
Ha! Good? Is that another
nice.
0?
0-6.
You had 3 criticals.
So with a minus 10 on my charm, that puts me at 48, and I rolled a 6. I still got 3 degrees of success.
All right, so they have a vested interest at this point in seeing that their members are treated properly, and they are heated at the way the dwarves are.
And I definitely want to spin it like, hey, and we, the Watch, are trying to stay out of your business and let you run your own show.
I think they definitely appreciate that. So over the next couple days, here's what happens then. Since we're kind of fast-tracking this part a little bit, since it's going to go a little different than intended. You discover the outcome of this event then instead.
Okay.
What ended up happening, you hear through gossip and news and the Watch and the various members, is that Barlin Silverbeard had a kind of personal racket going on where he was attempting to gather a bunch of money that was going to be fed in by all these merchants. And when those merchants deposited their money, some kind of accident was going to befall the vault, and that money was going to disappear. And oh, boo-hoo for everybody who invested.
Right.
But that accident was not to be, not actually a real one. That was going to be orchestrated by Barlin and some of his gang. Now, that's the part you all hear pretty quickly. The part you didn't hear very quickly is that several of the Merchant Guild members still went through with the deal underneath the guild's nose. Not necessarily the same group. One or two of the same group and then a couple other individuals still made it happen. They found
okay.
new people through their greed. Some people still went through with it. And this vault, you learn, in retrospect, and is that this vault, which is an airtight vault, several people ended up getting caught inside of it.
Uh-oh.
And two of the four merchants ended up dying inside of it, and this whole kind of thing ended up erupting about how Barlin Silverbeard is now in super hot water for, one, running a scam, but two, inadvertently murdering two people, mm-hmm. two humans. So the Dwarven District is now under a bit of scrutiny, particularly the merchant class of the dwarves. So there's a little added tension now between dwarves and humans in that area. But Barlin is now he's in the process of kind of the Dwarven legal system deciding what to do with him and some of his gang.
Perfect.
And he's no longer open for business. On the other hand, though, Meingott finds you the evenings following that and thanks you. He said, you know, to be honest, I appreciate the way you handled that. I was actually trying to run a counter scam, to be perfectly honest. But to be honest, the scam that Barlin was running was on top of mine. So I overheard him at one point saying what he was trying to do, and that's when I decided it was time to get out. Because I don't mind trying to get some creative uses of finding money, but I'm not interested in hurting people. And I appreciate the way you guys attempted to do that. And he says, I don't think I'll be showing my face around here for a little while. And buys you guys another round of drinks before walking out the door.
Okay.
Now, your time in the watch, you've been here probably about a month at this point.
That's it?
And what a month it's been.
I know, huh?
You guys can
look. Don't forget, though, you were earning 5 silver a week, so that's 20 silver.
20 silver?
Right? You don't get that, Layla, but he's swiping the pockets of people while he does the work.
Right.
Now, you guys only have, 24 plus another 10? So you guys only have 34 more months left.
Only.
So, Faustin the Fiery, does that ring a bell?
No.
He was the guy that got murdered during the big brawl, yeah? The guy that was the fire breather? Okay.
He was the one that you guys are currently accused of murdering, right?
Yeah.
Well, you hear the name Faustin the Fiery come up one night in a bar.
Ooh, that perks my ears.
Give me a minus 20 gossip check. Anybody who wants to can do it. While walking around the market plots.
A what?
Mother ducker. That's the fourth in a row. Under 5.
I'm utterly clueless.
And not only that, but because I have a 58 and I've got a gregarious skill, I nailed that. Crushed it.
Well.
5 levels of success.
Nice.
You hear people.
Einar is the gossip.
Einar,
I already knew that.
Einar, you overhear people talking about who killed Faustin the Fiery. Now you already know that it wasn't you,
right?
But that doesn't seem to matter too much. But it seems that the tales of how Faustin the Fiery actually died amongst the population is still somewhat of a topic of discussion and of interest. You hear dozens of variations of who it possibly was that killed him, including you guys. You also see some folk still maintain that there were other culprits, though no real answers. But eventually, as you kind of question the different people who are talking about it, you find that someone recalls the interference of a man with a milky eye.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they say, oh, well, I know him.
Oh, indeed.
Yeah. This is not the man you're talking to, but this is the man they're describing. His name,
really long name
is Einog Spaltman. And they say, oh, that's Spaltman. I know him. I know him. Or at least I've seen him.
What manner of folk is he?
Well, he's a one of the burly type, kind of those for hire.
Though recently he's turned dark. Haven't seen him for a while. Don't really know why. Though, interestingly enough, he was telling me one night while drinking that his milky eye, it's a dead eye, but he says he can see through it still. Not only can he see through it, he can see in the dark, he says.
Is only Einar learning this, or are we all hearing it?
I'll share it with you eventually, so whatever is revealed, I reveal to you later.
And he makes mention of a particularly heavy crossbow that Spaltman has customized for himself that he carries around with him at all times.
Is he a local? Like, was he born here, or did he come here?
As far as he knows, he's been here quite some time. He couldn't tell you one way or another if he was born here, but he's at this point an Ubersreich local.
Do we know, was he pro Jungfried?
He says he doesn't know. But last time he saw Spaltman, he was working around the docks kinda near the bridge area. In fact, last time he saw him he was patrolling the bridge, the upper bridge, looking for work. And he's gone. He hasn't seen him in a couple days.
And does he know where this one resides?
Hmm?
Where he resides?
His house? No, but he says the last time he saw him, he's been looking for work up on the bridges.
All right. That's enough to work on.
I think we need to start looking at the bridges.
Specifically.
So.
All right.
I think we're going to the bridges.
Daytime, nighttime, you guys are in control of that if you're going to go check it out.
Well, let's start during the day. However, are you guys going to like actively ask people about him, or are you just going to observe and watch? What do you want to do? I was going to go like hide.
I was going to observe and watch.
Yeah.
Because I have stealth with a like specialty in urban, so I was going to just like try and secret myself away somewhere and just kind of keep an eye on things.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same.
So I'm sorry, that was you guys want to keep a low profile but keep an eye out for him?
Yeah, like literally like find a place to hide or just look inconspicuous and just hang out and observe for a while.
So while continuing your daily duties and making a point to kind of regularly check the bridge area in your duties, you're kind of hoping to one day kind of come across him.
See him, you know, interacting or putting up a flyer or whatever he's doing to try and find work.
So it takes a few days, but you do one day catch sight of him. It's clearly him. The milky eye is you can't miss it once you see it. And he is he's hanging out on the side of the bridge in the middle of the day. He's looking out over the river. His back is turned, and he's got a crossbow, a very distinct crossbow. It's thick. You actually notice it's got room for two bolts and two strings, so you could fire it twice before having to reload. Kind of a custom-made crossbow.
Yeah, just because I can, and it's something to reinforce for my character. I take out my little like watch notebook, and I sketch it, because I'm an artist. So I actually draw the crossbow, so for future reference.
Yeah, you've never seen one like it. It's definitely custom-built, but looks like it's had use.
And
the guy looks worn.
And I'll rough out a portrait of the guy, too, just now that I've seen him once.
It looks something like that. And
draw it. Go.
I can.
So he has not spotted you, but he's just kind of taking in the sights from the bridge.
Okay. So, you know, gesture to you guys, make sure we're all seeing the same guy, and then I think we'll try and follow him once he departs.
Yeah.
So he sits there for another half hour or so, just looking around, and looks. He begins walking and heads down to the south side of town and gets off and goes and enters the Crooked Hammer Inn and sits down and orders himself a drink at one of the tables.
Okay.
I think we go have a drink with
him. I do too.
Yeah. Let's go get a beer and just sit down at his table. All three of us at the same time.
All right, the four-person table.
Yeah.
All chairs are occupied. He kind of is startled by it and looks around, and he doesn't seem to register who you are. He's like, who are you? What do you want?
A drink with you, sir.
Are you buying?
Sure. They smile. I'll even push the one I got for myself across the table to him.
Yeah, he already has one. He takes the other one in both hands and kind of like moves it over to his side as like a backup. And he looks at you with his milky eye and with a really gruff, very very confident voice. I mean, this guy's been around for a while. Like he's seen things, so he's like, "What do you want?"
Does the eye look like it could be dwarven or elven?
It looks. Make a perception roll, straight up.
I succeed by a long shot.
All right, you
a
look
007.
At it. Looks like organic still. It's not like a glass eye or something like that. Lost all color.
Okay, so it doesn't.
You're wondering, is it like from another creature?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's from a dwarf or an elf because they have night vision.
It doesn't look. Looks like the pupil and the iris and everything have just faded to a shade of gray.
Okay, so otherwise it looks like a human eye.
Yeah, okay. It looks like it's his still.
Yeah.
Yeah, like almost like if you got.
Does it move in the same? Like, does it move in conjunction with the other eye, or is it
no,
like?
No, it looks like it's. I beg your pardon. It does still move around. Yes.
So it's not like
in sync with his other eye.
Okay. All right then.
But I mean, for not knowing the rumors you've already heard, it looks like it's a dead eye.
Okay.
I don't intend to like full on intimidate unless you guys want to do that. So, are you like taking control, or are you just kind of seeing how this plays out?
I think I'll see how you guys play this out, and
okay.
I'll say something like, "Crazy riot we had a month or so ago, huh?"
He chuckles quietly to himself, already kind of understanding where you're going with this.
Mm-hmm.
And says, indeed it was.
Lots of folks impacted by the actions of everybody else during that riot.
I imagine so.
It's an interesting longbow you have.
Oh, the crossbow?
Crossbow.
He picks it up and kind of sets it on the table. It makes a big thud. It's heavy wood.
Uh-huh.
And it says, yeah, it's been with me for a long time. It served me well over the years.
Does it shoot three arrows at a time?
He points with two fingers. Two arrows at a time.
I thought there were three that, like...
Mm-mm. There's
no,
just one big one in the guy's throat.
Oh, I thought it was three that came out of his throat.
Oh, no.
Oh.
I'm not even sure with more than one that came
I
out
think
of
it was
his
just
throat.
One.
Yeah, I think it was
one.
Oh,
one
I could
bolt.
Have sworn it.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I'm confusing it with the dragonflies.
Oh, that guy did have three.
Yeah.
The three crossbow thing, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Nice callback.
Yeah.
That's right. We read it. I was there.
Yeah, like the bounty hunter had that tri crossbow thing.
Yeah.
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 He says, what is it the three of you want?
We're
me?
Serving your debt, is
well,
what I say.
I would merely like a tale. Let's just call it a tale about how things came to happen. And then perhaps we can all just go our separate ways and we'll be better informed.
I don't know about this going our separate ways after this. I mean, we're
so,
serving his sentence.
Spaltman looks at you with his milky eye, not in the slightest intimidated.
Not intimidating, just yeah.
But he looks entirely confident in this conversation and says, "And what kind of tale would you like me to tell?"
I don't know. Tales are always so much more interesting if we know why. Not just what happened, but why it happened.
He says, "Well, there's a certain code of ethics in my business that prevents certain tales from being told, you see."
And what business would that be?
Are you a bounty hunter?
Bounty hunter, cell sword. There's a number of terms for it, but suffice to say, I accept coin to do work other people don't want to do.
Kevin, who hired you to kill the one on that day?
That, my friend, would be part of the code of ethics we're talking about.
What? But he killed what? Effectively, the clown.
Well, yeah, but I'm sure there's more to it than that.
Yeah.
I'll just suggest that, well, perhaps a deal can be made. Say we exchange not sharing your name with everybody else in the watch and having you arrested and dragged before a magistrate for the truth.
Of who hired you.
He smiles and said, I don't know who you are. But
you're about to.
Let me tell you that the people who hired me would not cave under that kind of pressure.
What if the watch hired him?
And he says, I don't have anything against you guys personally. I don't give two shits about what you do, what you've done, or what you're about to do. But our business ends here. And he steps up. He's saying, he thanks you for the drink. Picks up his crossbow and hefts it over his shoulder. Alright. He nods in kind of a F you kind of way and walks out the door.